Jesus is the light of the world. A medley of readings from John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you have come into this world so that no one who believes in you will stay in darkness, but rather will walk in your light. Please would you shine your light on us now as we look at your word, as we hear your promises. And please would you turn our hearts to receive you as our living Lord today. We ask it to your Father's glory. Amen. Well, all week this week, and I think it's been a sign of the strange days in which we live, we've had more school services than in a normal year, and yet we've only had a fraction of the children and indeed of the schools, because we've had all week Christingle services for class bubbles in here and in one of our local schools as well. So Nathan and Teresa and I, we've been making Christingles all week. We know that you're just joining us. Maybe some of you were at one of those services during the week, in which, so welcome to you. You can show Mum or Dad how to make the thing if you're trying to do that at home. But we're going to be making a Christingle today and thinking as we do that how it helps us to look to Jesus and the promises that he made. So Nathan, if you'd like to come up and start getting yourself into the garb. And this morning we're going to be joined by Noah, who's going to come and help me by giving Nathan the various props that he needs. If you come and stand up here, Noah, and then you'll be ready when Nathan's ready for you. Just go and stand a little bit over there. And Mary is going to come up as well, and she's going to be making a Christingle live, just in case you get a bit lost and are not sure which bit to stick where. We'll make one live for you this morning. So, here we have. Just you come out and stand in the front here, so we can see you. So Nathan here is putting on, and of course we were doing it interactively all week, which we can't do this morning. But Nathan is putting on this marvelous orange suit, and the orange suit represents the world. And when he gets himself plugged in, and we put new Duracells in this morning, so hopefully that will work perfectly. You will see that Nathan will begin to swell in a way that no diet can cure, because here we have the world. And Mary, if you'd like to hold up your orange,
There we go. So this is the one you're making at home. This is our larger-than-life version we've got here in church. So we have our orange. Your oranges, of course, don't have heads or feet or arms. Well, there we go. You just have to have a little bit of imagination. He's swelling up beautifully, isn't he? Here we have our Nathan. So welcome, Nathan, as our new youth worker, by the way. It's a wonderful way to begin, wearing an orange fat suit at the front of church and in front of all our local children this week. So the Christingle orange, it represents the world that God has made. Jesus said, I am. In fact, he went on to say on another 7 occasions, I am something. And we're going to think about 3 of those as we go through this morning. But the main one, and the most amazing one of all, is when Jesus said to a group of people who didn't believe in him, before Abraham was born, I am. Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus came to be born at the first Christmas. So if Jesus was around before Abraham, then that tells you something pretty amazing about Jesus, doesn't it? And the people who heard Jesus say that recognized that he was claiming to be God. And they got very angry with him and tried to get rid of him because he said that. And in the Old Testament, when God appears to Moses, do you remember the story of the burning bush? And God says, I am. That's his name. That's who God is. So when Jesus says, I am, he's saying, I'm the God who made the world. I'm the God who made everything that exists. I'm the God who's given you life and shown you kindness. And now at Christmas time, we celebrate the wonderful truth that the God who made us and all the world has now come down to be one of us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word has now become flesh and made his dwelling here. Jesus is the Creator. Or maybe that's news to some of you. It is a bold claim, and we need to weigh that up. Do we really believe that, not just that God made the world, but that Jesus is the God who has made the world? That's what he said. Before Abraham was born, I am. Do you want to know God, the God who made you, the God who's really there, the God who's in charge of everything and who will one day bring this world to judgment? Then you need to come to Jesus, because he is the I am. He is the God who's made us, made that world. Well, hopefully you've held your orange now. Jesus is I am. He then says also in John's Gospel, I am the bread of life. And here we're going to have our sticks. Now, if you'd like to get the sticks and give those to Nathan. When we think about the world in which we live, God isn't the sort of God who just made the world and then left it. We've been thinking this week in our school services, and I got lots of nods from the children about whether they could relate to this experience of making something at home and then forgetting about it or losing it. And maybe eventually, when they can't resist mum's insistence that they tidy their rooms, eventually they discover it encrusted underneath the radiator many months later. Well, God's not like that with the world that he has made. Now, Jesus, in one of his most amazing and well-known miracles, feeds 5,000 people. Now, that is a miracle. It's an extraordinary thing. Only the Creator coming into the world could overturn the laws of nature and do something so amazing. And actually, it wasn't that extraordinary, because ever since the creation, Jesus, our Maker, has been sustaining life on the earth, causing the seeds that go into the ground to grow so that we have food to eat. The Lord God is the God who gives food to all of his creatures. He sustains us in our breathing, in our eating, in our living on this world. And those sticks are the signs of the seasons, the 4 seasons. Youth workers only come with 2 arms, so you have to imagine the other 2 sticks on our living Christingle here. But Noah, if you'd like to put the fruit on, the 2 tubs are on there. This in those seasons, as God keeps the world going, he gives us the food we need day after day, year after year. And Jesus, when he does that miracle, he says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who believes in me will go hungry or be thirsty. So not only does Jesus give us the food we need, but he promises to satisfy us. To satisfy us deep inside our souls. We know, don't we? And this year we've learnt it as never before. This world is not predictable. There are many things that disappoint us and make us so sad and anxious. We feel that darkness pressing in so much and all around. And Jesus says, the one person, the one thing you can rely on is me and my promises. Anyone who comes to me in faith will never inwardly be hungry or thirsty again. I am the bread of life, Jesus says. Well, then thirdly, we're going to come and think about this that Jesus said. Jesus said, I have come that people may have life in all its fullness. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He said that on the same occasion. We sometimes think about those as two separate promises. Jesus promises life in all its fullness. Jesus is the good shepherd. He brought them together on the same occasion. So if we want to know the fullness of God's life, we need to come to Jesus, our good shepherd. And how does he give us that fullness of life? By laying down his life for the sheep. And that's why next we wanted to put on your red ribbon. Now, if you get the red ribbon, I'll take one end of it, and you go round, because our youth work is very, very large, isn't it? So we need to go all the way around. And can you tie a knot in there? So even though God in Christ has made the world and given us so many things to enjoy, we don't instinctively turn to God or trust him. In fact, we seem to think we've done most of it ourselves, and we can make up our own way, fashion our own lights. We don't really need him. Men love darkness instead of light, says John, because their deeds were evil. And so it was to this world, where we had all rejected him, that God sent Jesus as a loving shepherd, a shepherd who would gather us up again where we were lost and where we'd turned away. You see, some people think they're quite good. Maybe they're religious and go to church every now and again. Well, Jesus in the end is not a shepherd who looks for the goodness in us. He loves us in spite of who we are. Other people know they've gone wrong. They know they're far away from God, and they wonder whether anybody could ever really love them. I don't know which one of those camps you're in, but the message is the same. Jesus has come to give us life in all its fullness, and he does that when we turn to him, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Because Jesus dies on the cross to take away all the things that we have done wrong. Christmas is good news. God has loved us by coming into the world in Jesus. But the best news of all is Good Friday. That Jesus didn't just come to be God with us, but God for us. God in our place, so that all the darkness within us, he would take away. That all the things we've done wrong, he would pay the price for, so that we could have life that never ends. Life that is truly life. Life that comes from a loving shepherd who gathers us up and binds our wounds and takes us home. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And then last one of all. Now, have you got the special hat? We were having a conversation before the service. I won't tell you who said it up here on the platform. But I was saying, do you know what? I made this at home. And that somebody on the platform said, yeah, it looks like it was made at home. There we go. Well done, Nathan. Jesus is the light of the world. That's the candle that we've put on your doorsteps, that we put in the middle of our Christingle, that reminds us of this wonderful truth. Jesus is the light of the world. No one who follows me will walk in darkness, but rather we will have the light of life. Maybe you're feeling that darkness, particularly inside you today, or sensing it all around us in this troubled world in which we live. Whether it's out there or in here, Jesus is the light that we need. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me won't have that darkness, because we'll have God's light and love right with us, right in here. And that's something we need to choose to receive. We have to open our eyes. You know, sometimes we're unwilling, aren't we? Perhaps after a short night's sleep, and this time of year, it's hard, isn't it, to open the eyes first thing in the morning. But when we open our eyes and the light floods in and the day begins, well, it's like that with Jesus. Put your trust in the light, he says, that you might become sons and daughters of light. That is, sons and daughters of God, because God has loved us so much that Jesus has come. Jesus, who made the world, who sustains it, who gives us life in all its fullness because he's loved us so much. He's our light. Trust in him this Christmas time and always. And that his light will never fail. He will never depart from us. His promises will always hold true. No matter what goes on in our lives or in our world, we will have his promises and loving presence with us forever. Shall we pray that we would know the truth of the Christingle this Christmas? Lord Jesus, you are the great I am, God come to be with us. You are the bread of life who gives us all we need every day and who promises us inwardly a great satisfaction when we come to know you. You are the good shepherd who loved us, who rescued us, who reaches out to bring us home, and who's laid down your life for the sheep, that we might have peace with our Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. Please turn our hearts, that we may come out of darkness and walk in your light, being the children of light, the children of our Heavenly Father. This we pray for all of us, now and always. Amen.